Wanna go, pretty boy?
Two minutes by yourself and you feel shame, you know, and then you get free.
The only thing better than a glass of beer is tea with Miss McGill.
And welcome to the Fourth Line Voice Podcast. My name is Darren. Thank you very much for tuning in. Episode 360 of the big show, some enforcer-based podcasting coming at you, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. How's everybody doing out there? Another wild Wednesday, but we missed Wednesday. It's Thursday night, sitting here at 8:30 at night. A little late, a little slow. Sorry, folks. Got a little delayed yesterday. Wasn't able to upload, but we're here now. So, welcome. Thank you very much for tuning in. And special guest today, got Brock on the came on the show. I recorded with him, when was that? Last on the weekend. And he actually runs the Twitter account, Red Hot Hockey. And it's a historical look at the Victoria Salsa, which was a BC Junior League, Junior A team in the BC League from 94 to 2006. And, and he's just kind of keeping that going and that, you know, with pictures and some video and kind of that historical time capsule. But we end up not just talking about the salsa, but, just basically some Victoria junior hockey history anyway. The Victoria Cougars, the Victoria Royals of the Western Hockey League. And then, of course, the Victoria Salmon Kings that were the East Coast League team from, 2004 to 2011. So, we kind of talked about all that. Brock was I'm the old man. Brock was the young guy. So, he was still pretty young when all that was happening, but, it was a good and really what kind of I wanted to get Brock on the show. As you guys know, anytime a historical piece is happening, whether it be junior or minor league or what have you, I'm always sort of attracted to that idea. And so I just thought it was really cool. And I'd had some old Victoria Salsa fights up on my YouTube channel, Fourth Line Voice on YouTube. And Brock got a hold of me and we had just kind of gone back and forth in the last last year or two on Twitter. And, it was just one day. I was just like, yeah, dude, why don't you just come on the show? And he was, more than willing. And yeah, we ended up having a long talk and I think we go for about an hour and a half and we talk obviously the Victoria stuff, but at the afterwards we do the 10 rapid fire questions, and that's something that I've done with numerous fellow fight fans in the show over the last year. And it's just favorite enforcer and blah blah blah, it's a fun little deal that I like to do. And Brock was a good sport about it. And like I said, I really enjoyed having him on. I think you guys will dig it. But so I'm not going to talk for long because, like I said, Brock and I go for a little while here. So, I just got to, we got a few things to talk about and a few news and notes. But as I said, I'm a member of the Hockey Podcast Network. There's over 100 shows in the network. All the NHL teams have a podcast, so whatever team you're a fan of, there's probably a few shows that you might enjoy. Myself, I'm on the original content creator side, along with Terry Ryan, Joel Lazito over there at the Coliseum Chronicles, who's just still going. He's on part three of his interview with Steve Stone Cold McLaren. That's been a lot of fun to listen to. One of my favorite minor leaguers of all time. He's on my Mount Rushmore, and he's a bad dude, man. So hearing him share stories has been really cool. So Check that out. And then, of course, we have Alec over at the Five for Fighting podcast. Not quite sure what he's doing right now. Well, he's just finished moving back there out to Tennessee. So I know they're unpacking and getting ready and obviously finding employment and everything else. So I'm sure podcasting is on the back burner. But I'm sure he will be appearing in sooner or later. If not, I'll get him on. And, you know, like I said, he does my show more times than he does his own show. So, you know, we'll do that. But, and of course, Jordan at Five and a Gabe. See, Jordan, there's a shout out for you. Yeah, he's, I talked to him, he and I were texting yesterday back and forth. And I was just kind of like, dude, like, I thought you were done and stuff. But, you know, he promises me he's not. So he's just kind of getting set up here. And well, he's out in Cape Breton. And they got hit with snow like you wouldn't believe. And yeah, so obviously extreme weather and just craziness out there. So again, podcasting's not on the priority list at the point right now for the Maritimers. So hopefully, you know, that's, I think I always get crazy weather out there, but, you know, it snows here and I'm mad I have to go shovel. Yeah. It'd be one thing. Yeah. You got to go shovel the skip off your driveway. It's another when you can't open your door, you're snowed in. Yeah. So, so hopefully that can get out there. They can wrap that up quick and get it cleared and, get back to business. But, yeah, so definitely check out those guys' podcasts and, yeah, and if you happen to be on social media, I don't know why you would do that to yourself, but if you do, check me out, Fourth Line Voice, on Twitter as well as on Facebook, and as I said before, on YouTube, I have over 2,000 videos on my channel, Victoria Salsa included, all the leagues from junior to pro. Just go to the little search engine, type in BCHL, boom, all the fight. I probably got about 40 or 50 old BCHL fights on there. So definitely check that out. And I have over 2,200 fights. So yeah, subscribe to the channel and check it out. And I think you'll dig it. So yeah, there we go. But yeah, really the only news, like I said, we'll get going in with Brock here right away. But the only news I really have to report to folks is I am off to Sin City on Monday, on the holiday Monday, family day here in Canada. And I believe it's President's Day down in the United States. Yeah, fly out Monday afternoon. Oh, I can't wait. Oh, I can't wait. Love me some Las Vegas. I've been looking forward to this. And it'd be nice to get away and have a break. So in saying all that, my goal is to have a Sunday episode. Then I will hopefully, I record with Jay tomorrow, and that will be next Wednesday's episode. I'm gone for 10 days, then there won't be a Sunday episode, but the following Wednesday, I am going to try to get an interview done. I've kind of gone back and forth with this individual. I hope I can get it done here, on Saturday. If not, obviously it'll be too late, and then you might not be a Sunday or a next Wednesday episode. We'll see. But I want to get something out there at least, so you don't forget me while I'm gone. But so I'll see how it goes. But I plan on having a couple episodes in the can, as they say, to pop up when I'm gone on Wednesday. But we'll see. More about that on Sunday. On Sunday's episode, we'll see where I'm at that point. Well, I'll know exactly where I am at that point because I leave the next day. So we will see. And, on Sunday, we'll get into the whole, the Battle of Ontario, the suspension heard around the world, and Brett Gallant, and, he's back, folks. He's playing Friday, against St. George. So that Andre Thiebaud in the lineup for St. George. So that could be interesting. A little Ice Wars 3 competitor, and Brett Gallant. We'll see what happens. That could be interesting. And I've heard through the grapevine that Thomas Belmar is back in the LNAH. He came out of retirement. Maybe Brett Gallant sparked some interest. So Thomas Belmar is back in Thetford. So that's good news. So, yeah, it could be, things are heating up in the LNAH. So, but we'll talk all about that on Sunday anyway. I'm going to shut up and, I'll get out of here and let's sit down and listen to my talk with Brock about some Victoria hockey, some 10 rapid fire questions, and it was just a lot of fun. And always enjoy. And Brock and I, obviously, we talk about this in the interview, but I will bring it up here as well. Anybody out there listening, in the sound of my voice, if you have any older BC, programs, I know ex-players listen to this show. If you're an old BC guy with some programs or maybe some, what have you, either get a hold of me or get a hold of Brock. I will, his link for his Twitter account, or X, I guess, as the kids say, will be in the description of the episode here. But get a hold of me or what have you, and I can pass it on to Brock or put you in touch with him. And or if you're a former Victoria Salsa player and you want to know what Brock hit, maybe you're looking for a program or a pitcher or what have you, again, get a hold of me. I can get you in touch with Brock and we can go from there. So, yeah, anybody with some old BC footage basically is my roundabout way of getting to that. But, let me know. And if you're on social media, just my DMs are open, as the kids say. Send me a direct message. If you're not on social media, hockeyfights@hotmail.com. Send me an email. Whether it be about that or anything, you want to ask me a question or you want to come on the show or you have a statement about the show, good, bad, or otherwise, or a suggestion or an idea, what have you, anything, drop me a line. I'd love to hear from you guys. And, let's get out of here. Let's get on to talking with Brock. Okay. And, I'll talk to you cats on Sunday. Thanks, everybody.
And now, here's a word from our sponsor.
We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Yeah, Connor Bedard's back. Anytime scoring prop for him is +330. Oilers, the favorites, Stanley Cup futures ticket, +700 right now, followed by Boston and Colorado at +850. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with the code THPN. New customers bet $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with the code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of the Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved.
And now back to your regularly scheduled program.
All right, here we are on the fourth line voice. I have a special guest today, Brock. We're going to sit there. We're going to talk about some old school BC Victoria hockey and a whole other bunch of whatnot. Brock, how are you doing today?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, thanks for coming on, man. We've kind of followed each other on Twitter or on X. I guess I'm always going to call it Twitter. Twitter for a while, and you have a unique Twitter account, and. We'll get into it. It's a Twitter account that's dedicated to the Victoria Salsa of an old Western or BC Junior League team from 1994 to 2006 was the Victoria Salsa time frame. What made you create an account about the salsa? And we should have led with your hockey life. What got you into hockey? Where were you born and raised, and all that stuff? Tell the folks a little bit about you.
Okay, well, I was born in Victoria. I live in Calgary now, but just average Joe. I grew up playing hockey and watching hockey. My dad's from Ontario and Leafs fan, so naturally I grew up a Leafs fan. All of his brothers were, and then the first hockey games I ever went to were salsa games back at the old Memorial Arena.
Yeah.
And we got season tickets there for 3 years and I had a great time.
Now, what, when you say, because I know you're, you young kids, I know you're a young guy. What kind of year, what's the time frame here when you had the season tickets? What years are we talking?
So I had season tickets from 2000 to the 03-04 year, just before the NHL lockout, and then we got ECHL Salmon Kings season tickets.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right. So we got that. Oh, right when the Salsa are winning championships, you show up. Oh, I think that's been a little bandwagon jumping.
I lucked out.
Yeah, because I went back early on in the 90s. Yeah, you were nowhere to be found when they were in last place. All of a sudden, we're winning championships, and Brock's a season ticket holder all of a sudden. Oh, yeah, here we go. One of these guys. Yeah. No, but...
This season, luckily.
Yeah. So like I said, we get it. But you play a little hockey yourself, right?
Yeah, I grew up in Victoria. I played for the Victoria IceHawks originally, and then I moved on to the Victoria Racquet Club and played up till midget, my second year midget, and then had an opportunity to play for, Junior B, and then I just decided to hang them up right then. Don't know why, I just didn't feel like going, lost the love of hockey, kind of. Just 5 days a week just became too much, and wasn't enjoying it.
The Rocky Mountain League wasn't calling your name, or was it the Kootenai?
No.
Kootenai at the KI. You weren't into it at the time. Yeah.
No. Kind of regret it a bit. Just even if I only would have played Junior B or Junior A, I wasn't going to go anywhere probably, but I wouldn't be here now, so.
Yep. Well, that's
I'm in a better spot now, probably, so.
the road not traveled. Oh, well. We all have those, right? So, but, all right. Well, let's, like I said, with the Twitter account, what made you start the Twitter account?
Well, I was on the internet and one day I was bored and looked up Victoria Salsa and could hardly find anything on the internet. So I decided to scramble up some of my old Salsa stuff and kind of post it online just for something to be somewhere. Because there's nothing really around, and hopefully some players and stuff would follow it and just have some content, because it was kind of just at the time where the internet wasn't really the place for all the news, so kind of just that perfect time period that got missed out on. And the BC League obviously isn't as big as the WHL, so it wasn't getting covered quite the same.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing, right? And I mean, and the BC League is going through some shit now, right? There's some stuff happening there this year, but yeah, like the Junior A, of course, for my listeners that aren't aware, of course, you have the BC League and the Manitoba, Saskatchewan. Each province had their own Junior A system, and then of course, Major Junior out here in the West, anyway, the Western Hockey League, stuff like that. But yeah, in the small communities, there's always a Junior A team or a Junior B team. And, and the BC League. And from there, obviously guys are playing there to get like college scholarship. All you folks, you wonder why where these Canadians that play in the NCAA came from? That's where they came from. It's from these Junior A leagues. Cause that's the big reason why guys play in Junior A. But of course, back in the day as well, just like all hockey, it was called Jungle A for a reason. And there was some tough cats that went through these leagues and some crazy stories. And we'll talk about all that. But for those that don't know, with Victoria out here in British Columbia, it's on an island. And so to get there, from the mainland, obviously, you have to take a ferry. How long is the ferry ride?
Just about an hour and a half, but you have to be there another half an hour early.
Yeah.
So it's a pain.
Well, so that's the thing. I mean, I was a long time ago when I was in Victoria, but at the time, the first time you ever do it, you get on there and you're all excited. Hopefully we'll see a whale or something, right? And this is just great. I love this ride. Well, could you imagine playing on that hockey team in Junior A? And how many games you play? 60? Well, 32 friggin' times you got to get on that. Well, 60 times, I guess, there and back. You got to get on this ferry and head into the mainland to get on a bus and go play somewhere. Yeah, I think I'm sure the idea of the ferry would wear on you very quickly at that point.
Totally. I was going to say, funny enough, one of the teams in the Island Division is Powell River, and you have to go up Island about 2.5 hours and then take a ferry over there. And then every time you take that ferry, there's always a storm for whatever reason. But the hardest place to get to is somehow on the island of Asia. But
well, and that's the thing, and that's the scary thing, right? And it's because, of course, obviously it's in the winter that you're doing this, right? So not in the middle of August, you know, it's in the, you know, in the winter. So God knows what happens with the weather. And, yeah. And then it's, you know, in BC and then you get into the mountains and shit. It's yeah. In the winter. Yeah. It's, yeah, man. And so the travel that these kids put in to play is unbelievable. But yet when you get in a, it's like in the Western Hockey League, when you play for the Brandon Wheat Kings, every road trip is long. Like the closest trip is like to Regina is like 6 hours. Right. So like every game is long, right? Every trip. It's not like, oh, in Saskatoon, we're going to play Prince Albert. It's, you know, it's an hour up the highway or, you know, or over to Moose Jaw. It's another hour, you know, whatever. But no, when your every trip is that long, it's like, yeah. So these guys are putting in miles, man. And, let alone getting on a ferry and then getting, like you said, then getting on the bus and going a few more hours. So yeah. So you're grinding when you're playing for the Victoria team. But, yeah, man. Well, yeah, well, like you said, now they got the Western Hockey League team, right? The Royals. So, you know, and they did have...
You got to go to the States, too, make things more complicated.
Yeah, yeah, they got to go down to the States, and yeah, and then, well, and like you said, then before the junior team, the Salsa, of course, you had the Victoria Cougars in the Western Hockey League, and that's yeah. a little before your time, but, you know... But Victoria's had a long history of hockey. Like you said, they had the Western League, then the Junior A team, and then you had the East Coast League team for a little while. Now you got the Western Hockey League team again. So there's been a lot of hockey in Victoria. So, but we'll focus on the Salsa here. Yeah. So like you said, you know, you first get into, what kind of drew you to the Salsa when you started going?
What?
Like when you first start going to the games, like what made you like a fan of the Salsa? Like what?
Just because they're the local team.
Yeah.
My granddad owned an Esso station. He sponsored some of the players. So, and he had season tickets, I think, every year they were there until the ECHL team came in. He sponsored Sean O'Connor. I believe he got drafted by Florida. He didn't play in the NHL, but he was a bit of a scrapper. He actually has a few fights on YouTube, but... Yeah, and then a few years later, my family got season tickets and went with them all the time. And if you were at Memorial Arena back in the day, the old one, you would have seen my grandpa. He was a little obnoxious, and he brought his own air horn to the game, and he had a bunch of signs. He had a sign that said, for the refs, three blind mice, and had an eye chart for the refs. It was fun.
Oh, he was that guy, was he? Oh, yes.
Oh yeah, it was embarrassing sometimes. But
yeah, well, like you said, Sean O'Connor. For those listening, some of my my minor league fans. Of course, he that is the Sean O'Connor that played for the Las Vegas Wranglers, and you know, he played a bunch of seasons in the East Coast League, and then he went over to Germany and played over there. You know, he played a couple seasons in the Moose Jaw Warriors as well in the Western League. So, yeah, a few tilts here and there. And actually, I think the funniest thing about Sean O'Connor that I'll always remember, and if you go to my YouTube channel, watch Ceremonial Puck Drop, and it's in the playoffs against when Moose Jaw is playing Regina. And it's in Regina, and that somebody comes out, some veteran or whoever, and, you know, they do the puck drop, and the home guy, you know, wins the draw, pulls it back, picks the puck up and hands it to the guy, and everyone shakes hands and, you know, whatever. O'Connor beats the guy on the draw like it's a real face-off. And, oh, the crowd just hating him, ready to kill him. Yeah, I've never seen anybody do that in a ceremonial face-off before. So look it up, Sean O'Connor on the Fourth Line Voice YouTube channel. Yeah.
Yeah, he likes to celebrate after fights a little too.
yeah, exactly.
Probably wasn't the most like that. But.
No.
Put on
a
show.
He did put on a show. Yeah. Well, like you said, speaking of putting on the show, like with the Victoria, with the Salsa, as we said with all Junior A, you know, as I said, Jungle A. Who were some of the kind of some tough guys that stick out to you for the Salsa back in the day?
Well, my favorite was Aaron Boros, and when he played, he was actually really good. He they won the championship with him, and I think he led the league in scoring in the playoffs, and he's second on the team in scoring during the regular season. But he was always my favorite to watch.
Yeah, Aaron. For those listening, of course, he went on and played Minnesota with the New York Rangers and stuff for a few seasons, and he did some fighting and stuff. But yeah, the 1 year in Victoria, just kind of looking at it now, 58 games, he had 13 goals, 283 minutes. Then the next season, 34 goals, 34 assists, 196 minutes in 57 games, and got a college scholarship to the Alaska Fairbanks. See, there you go, folks. That's what you do when you're in the BC League. Who else? Give me some other names here.
I don't have a ton of old fight footage. I was going to say you have more fight footage online, I think, of the BC League than anyone else ever on the internet. There's virtually none. So I don't know a ton. I've seen the Blair Tassoni fight, and Andrew Ladd pumps him up pretty good, unfortunately. But another player I liked was Curtis Fraser, and he scored 50 goals 1 year and he got traded to Vernon, but he was always first line, kind of power forward guy, always get in fights, muck it up, but he was fun to watch. Another guy who made the NHL too is Ryan O'Byrne. He really only played 1 year with Salsa, a big 6'5" D-man. Him and Aaron Boros actually had a fight in the NHL, funny enough. But he probably wasn't the biggest fighter in junior, but he definitely could fight. Yeah, and then they went play for the Leafs and Montreal, and he got the better Boros in that tilt.
Yeah, it's interesting when you go back and you kind of look through especially like the junior A stuff, right? And like how their roles kind of develop over the years, right? Like you said, Boros, you know, when he was in the NHL, was basically like, you know, a fourth line kind of tougher guy, right? But here he is leading the junior A team and like scoring in the playoffs and stuff, right? So it's interesting how the roles change, as their careers go on and get to the different levels.
Only,
you know, and and one guy that I kind of noticed on the Salsa team was Korea, his brother.
Yeah, Martin. Yeah, the youngest one.
Yeah,
he lived up pretty good. That's kind of that's 2 years before I started watching Salsa, so I didn't really see him much. But he looked pretty good in his highlights. I know he never made it to the NHL and played in Europe, but yeah, there's some good talent that came out of Victoria and the Salsa. Like you had obviously the Ben brothers, even though Jamie Ben really only played a few games with them, and they changed the name to Victoria Grizzlies. They had Greg Zannon played in the NHL, Boros obviously, and then you have Matt Pettinger playing the NHL. And I'm in Calgary right now. I don't know if he's still the goalie coach, but Jordan Siglett, he played net when I watched when they won the championship, and big reason they won that championship. And now he's the goalie coach for the Calgary Flames, so he's pretty good.
Yeah, another guy I was just kind of looking at, Kyle Greentree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Greentree played for the Flames, and then a guy from your neck of the woods, Tyler Bozak. He's played over 1,000 games now too. Won the Stanley Cup.
Yep. Yeah,
they want to. I was going to say, they went on a run the last year. They were the Salsa with him there. They lost to Port Alberni, I think, in the BCHL finals. But, yeah, he was a wicked player in junior, obviously. And then the next year, him and Jamie Benn clicked and went well for both of them. They ended up having careers.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's, like you said, it's interesting, the guys as they – As they go on through the league, and then it's just interesting. You see some of these guys and like they tear it up, and it's in junior, and it's like, oh yeah, this guy. And then air quote, it doesn't really go anywhere. And then other guys that you didn't really, they were good and whatever. Like you said, all of a sudden they're having 1,000 game NHL careers, right? It's just interesting how it goes sometimes, how the guys develop.
Well, one of my. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, one of my one of the guys I used to play hockey with, his older brother was on the Salsa, and Hamilton, he was okay, but he ended up going and playing good in the ECHL and stuff and got drafted by Atlanta. Go figure. Not that he was bad on the Salsa or anything, but and he's relatively tough, which probably helped him go further than some guys will and play that role a bit.
Yep. No, absolutely. And like you said, most of the time, you know, as it went on, like everything in hockey, I think, especially in the junior A kind of side of things, you know, they've really, well, now especially, but, you know, you started to see the switch there in the mid 2000, late 2010 to, you know, 11, 12, 13. It's like a real emphasis got to start getting put on like scholarships and college. And I think obviously the toughness kind of went away. And the fighting and stuff, like, because the BC League back in, like, the 90s and early 2000s was crazy. You know, every team had guys, right? And I think now junior A is completely, you know, it's all, well, hell, you got guys wearing full cages and stuff now, right? Like, it's become a real scholarship league. And BC was always known, like, at least I know from being out here in the West, you know, the SJHL, the Manitoba, the Alberta League was kind of the guts, the grinders, guts and farmers and oil riggers league, right? And BC was like the scholarship league. That's where you wanted to go.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of guys who went to Alaska.
Yeah.
And then, like, Bozak went to Denver.
Yep.
So definitely the league to play in if you want a scholarship.
Yep.
But I was going to say this year and last year, I guess, the whole AJ BCHL thing, who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I was going to say, Joe Sakic, I was going to say he's a BC guy too, but he kind of looked into that league a bit. They got Alex Newhook, right? And Kale McCarr's from the AJHL. So I think a lot of these guys started watching junior A closer than they were before, instead of just taking guys from the WHL.
Yeah.
And obviously look at how good Mikhail Carr is now.
Yeah. Well, that was the other thing. Back, you know, from in my, like in the 90s and stuff, very seldom did guys get taken out of junior A in the NHL draft. Very seldom. Mm-hmm. But now it's a regular, oh, you got guys going to the first round and stuff, right? Like back then, yeah. Junior A was always sort of looked at as like second class compared to the major junior. And I think it's the playing field's a lot more level now than it was.
Mm-hmm.
And you just had different things, right? It was always back in the day, if you played major junior, it was because you wanted to play in the NHL. You went and played junior A because you wanted a scholarship. That was always kind of how it was looked at. And I think, and obviously that's changed over the years for sure. But,
I was going to say, the funny thing with the Salsa is they've had more NHL alumni than the Victoria Royals and the WHL, and the Royals have been around longer now, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah. Now, and, like when you were
steady in the NHL guy.
Well, when you were in Victoria, you were saying that, like, how long were you there for? Like, you saw the East Coast League as well?
Yep. Yeah, I had season tickets for the East Coast League the first year when it was in the lockout. And there was good hockey there. There's Gomez and there's some, Dan Blackburn, Pierrington were on the Salmon Kings. So the bench clearing brawl. That was all fun.
Yeah, well... Yeah, so the how long were the Salmon Kings around for? I'm looking that up here right now. 2004 to 2011. Okay.
Not too long.
But, and then the Salsa, they ended in 06, but then they became, like you said, the Victoria Grizzlies, and obviously they're still around.
Well, yeah, Tyson Berry's dad, Len Berry Jr., he played in the NHL for Florida, but he ended up... him and someone else bought the team and they made a huge housing development called Bear Mountain and a resort there too. And then they bought the team and made a new rink called Bear Mountain Arena. And then they changed the team name to the Victoria Grizzlies, which at the time was kind of, it looked like a good move because most people are like, what the hell? Who the fuck are the Salsa?
Yeah.
But.
Oh, I should have led with that. Well, stupid me. That's yeah. The name always kind of made me laugh. It was, where do you know, like, what's the origin there?
So, I guess, the Victoria Cougars left.
Yep.
And I'm going to shout out my buddy Tyler and Prince George. They already had the Spruce Kings in the junior A league, but then they got our major junior team. Now they're still in the league, the Prince George Cougars.
Yep.
But yeah, so we lost them and they brought in the Salsa. And the owners were originally a family that owned a couple of the Taco Times, funny enough.
Okay.
So I guess they didn't look too hard into the name, but it stuck for a bit, funny enough.
Yeah, well, the logo's like a chili pepper, and it was like, okay, like.
Yeah, and then they revamped it after the ownership switched, and then they brought in the jacked up red pepper guy. Actually, as a kid, I thought the original pepper was just a cactus.
that's interesting. Well, and so like the Victoria Grizzlies, like you were saying, that's Jamie Benn. Yeah, he.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, 53 games, 42 goals, 78 minutes. There you go. Yeah.
And then obviously went to Kelowna and took off.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorite players now, too. Just not even because he's from Victoria, just kind of one of the last or the only left power forward who actually fights, and a decent fighter. He can throw with both hands.
Yep.
Good left, good right, throw straight, punches. Fights out of anger, too, which is kind of fun to watch.
Well, yeah, that's the thing with those guys, right? Exactly. They get, they're fighting because they're mad, right? So now at this point, you said you got season tickets to the Salmon Kings in the East Coast League. Did you kind of give up on the BC League at that point? Or were you still going to Grizzly games?
No, I didn't go to any. I went to a couple, but we're kind of just with my granddad. He started sponsoring some of the Salmon Kings. And then since it was a brand new team in the NA or the ECHL, it kind of struggled out of the gate. Believe it or not, they at the time had the biggest losing streak in pro sports to start the season. They went, I think, 22 or 23 games to start the year, all road games because they were building the new arena, and they lost every single one. And then they ended up putting on local talent on the team to make up for it being a new expansion team. So you had, like, Tyson Berry's uncle, who was on the team, a couple of former Salsa guys who were on the team, but, like, Craig Zaberski and then Hamilton. There's a couple of firefighters who my dad knows who were on the team, and Greg Batters. Who's a Victoria Cougar used to fight a lot. He was an assistant coach, so we tried to make the best of the team. They ended up getting good later on, but it was a hard season. Yeah. And, of course, we had regular season tickets, and the one game we don't show up for is a bench clearing brawl.
Well, yeah, for those that don't, it was basically Dale Purington snapped and went after the Greg Spenrath, who was coaching at the time. Yeah.
No, he was fun to watch, actually. He played the role pretty well. He was pretty hated. And I remember a couple times he had some good scraps, and he scrapped the guy, went in the box, and they scrapped again. And then even during the brawl, I know just watching it on the news, he got kicked out of the game and came out of the change room fucking without his shirt, no equipment on, and came back on the ice and started fighting again. We got a however many game suspension.
Well, and that's the thing. I know people love to shit on Purington. I was always a Purington fan. I mean, he was dirty as shit and everything else. I always said the problem with Purington is he came along about a decade too late. Because if he had played in the 80s, he would have had like a 10-year NHL career because he would have fit right in, right, back then. But then he started doing shit, even it was kind of like, eh.
I got
it. Yeah, it's just kind of, eh.
Who knows if it's intentional or not, but still, not a good look.
No, especially on that pitcher. It's just like, yeah, they couldn't have taken a better pitcher, right? Yeah. But, yeah, on that first year team, like you said, you got Blue Benefeld. You know, he's a tough guy, and Purington, and yeah, there was a few characters on that team. And like you said, even the coaches. You got Brian Maxwell, legendary tough guy, legendary Western Hockey League coach, and loved the toughness. And I mean, and then like you said, you got Greg Batters, who was a minor league tough guy. So yeah, there was a lot of Rob Volterra was playing. There's another tough guy. So there was definitely some toughness in Victoria that year.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it is. it was good to watch the Salsa games, though. They were getting their butts kicked, but they're kicking some butt at the same time.
Well, yeah. Well, one thing I want, yeah, also, as far as just being the fight tape geek and everything that I am, do you remember, like, were those games on, like, local cable? Did they play a lot of stuff on TV there?
Not really. Like, they might have had the odd game on Shaw, maybe.
Yeah.
You probably would have to go through a third-party thing, kind of like now. But, yeah, I know, yeah, not really, no. They're never really televised. Radio, so, they had radio, right?
And yeah. But as far as, like, going back in the Salsa and stuff, like, you didn't, like, you weren't, like, taping their game, like, you didn't have access to their game tapes, or you don't have anything on tape, do you?
No, my grandpa might, but, yeah, no footage. I think, yeah, like I said, you have a couple fights, and I think that's probably more than anyone else. There's a guy on YouTube, I forget his name, who works for the Grizzlies, who occasionally posts the odd old Salsa thing, but there's not a lot of content, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Not really of the fighting.
We gotta get my boy Kyle, Sunday out there. We'll, you know, shout out to Sunday. I hope you're listening to this. He's a BC guy, like I was telling you off air. We'll have to get him on. He knows all about that league. I don't know why I haven't had him on yet, actually. But yeah, he's got a lot of old BC. He's a big fight tape guy, so I know that's where I got most of my BC stuff from. So yeah, I'll have to look in. I've never bothered to ask him. I should ask him if he's got any Victoria stuff kicking around. Cause if anybody would, it'd be him. So yeah. But yeah, like just going through the, I completely forgot, like out there, you had Adam Huxley playing there. Dallas Anderson. I mean, you know, they're a couple tough dudes. Old Ryan Wade from the old Kelowna Rockets. I forgot he played out there too. He's a pretty solid player, actually.
Jeff Henderson was pretty tough too.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, for the Adam Huxley. Yeah, I was a big Adam Huxley fan because, of course, I got to watch him play junior here in Saskatoon, and he went on and had a hell of a minor league career. For those listening, if you want to hear a good interview when I had Huxley on, you should check that out. I forgot actually that he played. Well, obviously, we talked about Victoria. I forgot that he was there though. It's been so long, but yeah, they traded from Las Vegas, and he came out to Victoria to end the season, but. Yeah, so how long did you go to these games for? When did you move to Calgary and stuff?
I moved to Calgary in 2012. I moved to work up north in the oil sands, but we had season tickets, 2001 season, and then till 2005 with the Salmon Kings. It's not an overly long time, but we saw some good hockey, so.
Yeah.
Some fun hockey. The old Salsa games, man, were so fun. And then that same arena, too. The crowd, especially on like a Saturday night or a weekend night.
Yeah.
Get a fight going and the whole crowd's into it. I remember one time there was a center ice tilt. I don't know who he fought, but Aaron Boros fought someone. And he caught him pretty good. And then he's in the penalty box and a couple of girls come down and starts chit-chatting to them in the penalty box, which I thought was pretty funny.
Chicks take the fighters, man. Yeah.
Yeah. He was my favorite player on the team at the time, him and Pierre Napper-Fernet. I know Vorov kind of, he was more or less a heavyweight back in the BC League. I know, not to be disrespectful, but he's kind of a bit of a punching bag in the NHL, unfortunately. He didn't win a ton of fights, but was always game, played the role, played tough.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Other skill set and people give him credit for.
Well, who would, like, back then with the Salsa and stuff, who was their big rival?
Couch and Valley Capitals and the Nanaimo Clippers.
Yep.
Were the big ones. They had a lot of games. There was a meathead. I don't know any of the players, but there was a big meathead line on Couch and Valley Capitals, and I remember they were, yeah. There's some good scraps. And it was good, too, because the first year I got season tickets, they had the identical record to the Couch and Valley Capitals. And the last game of the season was in Duncan in their arena with the big hockey stick. And the winner of the game got into the playoffs, and the Salsa pulled it out just. We went to that game. I got hit by a puck. But that was fun. And then they played Nanaimo in the playoffs, and I went to Game 7. We went to Nanaimo for Game 7. It was pretty fun.
Well, yeah, like you said, right? They pulled out the big win as they won the BC League, right?
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah, they swept South Surrey, the Surrey Eagles, and then they played Merritt in the finals, and that went to Game 7 in Victoria too. I was gonna say Merritt finished. They just squeaked into the playoffs too, so the Salsa had a home ice advantage for once in a Game 7. I was there. I saw it. It was great. It's on YouTube, too. The footage is pretty good if you Google it. But, yeah, Captain came in clutch. Pierre Napper-Fernet got a hat trick in Game 7. The crowd was chasing the goalie and everything. That was awesome. Packed arena. The old Memorial Arena was pretty cool.
Yeah, I was going to say there was some blood spilt in that rink.
Yeah. I think you called me out on Twitter. You posted the Wingfield interview with the Danbury Thrashers.
Yep.
I know he played in the BC League.
Yep.
But I didn't listen to the whole thing, and you called me out. I was like, I think I posted a YouTube video about him and the usher at the arena.
Yeah.
And then I listened to the thing, but he got kicked out of the game, and then there was a whole fiasco with the crowd, and fucking usher was doing something stupid. He tells the whole story there. Check out his back catalog.
There, exactly. There you go. Yes, Brad Wingfield. Yeah, never mind the documentary. I was doing that shit 2 years before that documentary ever came out. We were talking about that stuff, but yeah, he was Winger was he tore it up the BC League, but yeah, he had a little run-in with the usher and some fans of Victoria, but yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, do you remember a cat named Chad Nicholson?
No, I do not.
What? Oh, he had 178 minutes there in 40 games. Yes.
What year is this?
The championship year, 2000, 2001. What? I believe they traded him to Trail. Looks like he got traded halfway through the year, I think, or at some point in the year.
Okay.
But
yeah, I don't remember him, unfortunately.
But
I know they brought in some guys. They kind of did that greasy, I guess a lot of any league does it, even minor hockey, the team gets knocked out early in a different league, and then they'll, oh, hey, here's this guy from the QHL or WHL. Play 5 games, and then he's eligible for the playoffs and stuff.
Oh, yeah, they're, bringing guys in from, would you have a guy from Germany there at Bathurst? Well, all that Pierre Napper, right? He's from New Brunswick, and, So, oh yeah, they're always, and who was the other, Adam Carter, he came from New Brunswick as well, and, had played in the Quebec League.
Okay. They did that my last year in midget, too. They fucking brought some guys from the dub. Like, fuck off.
Stack.
Championship.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there was, back in the day, there was always something going on, for sure. So I guess, like, as far as Victoria hockey goes with the Salsa and stuff, like you said, that's always the frustrating part. Like, that's why that's what got me on your Twitter account to begin with. Like, I always just kind of dig the old stuff, right? Air quotes, old stuff. Yeah, 90s, 2000s, they were old. Well, shit, I guess it's 24 years ago now. That's crazy to think. That was 24 years ago that they won the championship. Where does time go? But I always kind of dig that, and especially with the junior A stuff, because like you said, right? It's so hard to find, like, footage, or unless you were there in that town, right?
Why? Just for this interview, I got a newspaper.com and just kind of went down the rabbit hole looking up old articles. So I'm going to try to save some and post them just so there's more stuff on the internet.
Yeah,
if any Victoria guys are following, I know some former players follow me and fans, and whoever has old, not just salsa, but BCHL footage, like videos, or upload it and post it and tag me in it. I'd love to see it. I need more content out there.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And I mean, that was, you know, and that, well, that's always like, yeah, like, well, that was the whole point. Well, that's the whole point of this podcast, to be honest. But, you know, even with the YouTube channel and stuff, it was like, well, everybody can put up the Probert fights in Taitomi. I mean, how many, you know, but it was like, yeah, no one's putting up BC fights or like old WHL fights or anything like that, right? So that's what got my YouTube channel going, because I'm like, well, I have all these DVDs and VHS tapes sitting here. Well, I mean, I've seen it all, but it's like, you know, so you're talking to people, oh, you should have seen this, you should have seen that. And they're like, oh, okay. Well, so I'm like, well, why don't I upload it? That way everybody can see it, right? So it was just like, yeah. So, and I encourage people, yeah, like if, like I always tell people, yeah, like you just said, if guys are out there listening and you got something, yeah, just create it.
My put it up, man. Childhood memory is only so good.
Yeah, well, all of us, right? We're all losing it. It's just like, you know, but it's like,
you can't even research it.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, right? Like, even when I was talking to you and we were going to have you on, it's like, I went back and looked through the Victoria stuff, but it's just like, okay, well, other than, you know, okay, you go through Hockey DB or Elite Hockey and you look up some names and, you know, you try to go find some stuff on the internet. There might be a little blurb here and there, but overall, I mean, and I always, and that was kind of the frustrating, well, and I really wish BC would do this, because I will give credit to the SJHL. If you go to the SJHL website, you can actually download the historical stats. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. So they go back to, like, whatever, the 70s and stuff, and it, you can, not everyone's stats, but they have, like, the top 10 or whatever, and you can see the standings and blah, blah, blah. You can go through, at least you can get some reference. Well, BC's got nothing like that, right? And it's like, well, your league's been around. I don't know how long the BC league's been around.
I think 60-something, yeah.
Yeah,
a long time.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, so it's like, why do you not have the historical stats on there? That'd be awesome to go back and look at, like, I don't know, the Vernon team in, like, 1991. Let's look up their stats. Although I will say, Hockey DB for the BC League is actually not bad. They actually have a lot of the stats.
The only issue is they don't have any playoff stuff, really.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know,
like, no, it's just like, yeah, you look at, like, per se, like, Aaron Boros, for instance, like, just looking at my old pamphlet here, he scored 7 game-winning goals in that playoffs. Like, his regular season numbers were good, but, like, him, a couple guys really stepped up in those playoffs, and it just sucks they don't have playoff stats, because playoff stats are important, too.
Well, yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. So, I will say, they've done a better job, like, with the BC stuff, then the SJHL stuff is brutal and stuff in the Alberta League. But yeah, it would just be cool if the leagues paid more attention to the historical stuff. Like, maybe put, like, why not have some old pictures or old, you know what I mean? Or old video, like talk to the teams. Like,
anything.
Yeah, like, do you have old video and stuff? If you do, we should put it up on, like, that's what I get mad at these teams, right? It's like, all these junior teams and stuff. It's like, I mean, I guess we were all guilty of it, but it was just like, there no sense of any history. Like, did you collect anything, you know? Nothing.
Well, even if you Google Victoria Salsa Hockey, fuck, there's a couple images, but not a ton. Like, I have more personally than there are on the internet.
Yeah.
And all the pictures I've just stolen. Like, I've just gotten up from old things I have.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, and unfortunately with, you know, as hard as older junior stuff is, junior A stuff's even harder. And, you know, and I always kind of kicked myself, you know, back in the 90s and stuff, I didn't really collect any of that stuff. I tried, but, you know, you here and there, it's like, I had opportunity maybe to push harder to get some video that I didn't, and I'm kicking myself now for not doing that. But,
well, it's like, I think you bring it up a couple times in episodes that the fights you'd want to see the most is Probert Junior fights, and they just don't exist.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it was just like, you know, yeah, a lot of that stuff. It's just, yeah, and it's gone to the sands of time, right? And it's just like, yeah, and it sucks because we missed out on a lot of good stuff. Well, even here in Saskatoon, going to the Blades games for as long as I did. And it's just like, well, like I was telling you about Huxley and stuff, and I watched Huxley and I watched Hordachuk and all these guys. There really isn't that many fights. I have some of their stuff, but, you know, yeah. And, oh, well, in the Western Hockey League, how many guys came through that league, right? And it was just like, you know, you tried to cut the stuff, but it's just like, yeah, man, it's just some of that stuff is gone forever. Like, like I can remember, like I used to, the people that own the Saskatoon, I used to know the people that own the Saskatoon Blades. I grew up with their son. And I can remember when they were, I think I've told this story on here before, but when they were retiring Wendell Clark's jersey here in Saskatoon, he got a hold of me because he knew I was a fight guy, right, or whatever. And he's like, do you have any Wendell Clark Saskatoon Blades footage? Of course, I was like, holy shit, I wish. And he's like, yep. He goes, we don't have any. This is the team. They didn't have anything. I'm like, they don't have a second of Wendell Clark Saskatoon Blade footage on video. And you're the Saskatoon Blades. I was like, are you shitting me? You don't have anything? And I think they eventually found something at the news station. I think they found some old film, you know, and they put it on. I think, but most of the stuff they played was like from Toronto, right? Like old NHL stuff. I think they might have had like a couple pictures maybe of when he played for the Blades. And that was basically their little tribute video to him that they played at the game. But it was just like, yeah, so here's this team that's been around since the 70s. They have no video of anything. And it's just like, it's so sad, right? It's just like, oh, man. And as a fight fan in Saskatoon, man, Dave Brown and Koser and Tony Twist, although I have some Tony Twist. Well, and the only reason that I have Tony Twist and Kelly Chase Saskatoon Blades footage is because Tony Twist himself saved it. And I got it from him. That's it. That's where I got the stuff from. That Blades footage that's on my YouTube channel of Twist fighting and Chase and Kaminsky and Kerry Clark is from Tony Twist. He saved it. So if it wasn't for him, it wouldn't have, you know. So it was, yeah. So other than players keeping stuff, it was just like, yeah, these teams don't have a lot of these teams. Some teams are really good at saving stuff, but most weren't, unfortunately. And then Junior A, forget it. That's just a lost cause for the most part. So.
Well, I think I've looked up, I don't know how many times. I think I can only count 6 salsa fights on all YouTube, and I would say you have half of them. Mm-hmm. And the Victoria Salsa, the Blackberry Media, they started posting a couple videos a few years back, but then they just stopped right away, which nothing else has really been posted since, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, and then the other thing is, and then the unfortunate thing is, you know, especially if it's a team thing or whatever, especially nowadays, the league's probably, oh, don't put it up, or, you know, like, it's not a good look if we're putting up fights, or, you know, it's like, oh, come on, you know, like, yeah, that's happened too. I know that from experience, but, you know, it's like you got some of this old stuff, but the teams don't want to put it up. It's like, really? Like, you know, one, I always laugh though. If you ever go to a team website and you look at the videos, which videos have the most views? The fights. Every time. Yeah. It's just like, oh God, you know, but yeah, well, so, well, there you go. Yeah, Victoria Salsa. So anybody out there, if you're listening and you have, well, BC stuff to begin with, but if you have any Victoria Salsa stuff, get a hold of Brock on Twitter or me or whatever, and I can pass the word on, because we need to preserve this. We need to save it, man.
Seriously.
Yeah. Well, so, when you actually left Victoria, yeah. I mean, so I guess you weren't around for the Royals.
No, not really. I know a couple. I know Trunk fought there, and I know a couple of the players, I guess, from the time, because it's kind of my age group, but I went to a dozen games total, probably. And by that time, too, it was like, if I'm into fighting, there's kind of the last couple of years being enforcer, and even still, there's not much fighting at the time. Different league, different era.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, like you said, so the Royals, I mean, they came back. So the Western League kind of came back. It was 2011,
And folks, I'm of no help to you there. I couldn't tell you from 2011. Yeah, I had given up in the Western Hockey League at that point. So I'm of no help here.
Actually, there was some good. There was a playoff series. It was the first year I moved away, and I remember coming back in town, and they're playing the Portland Winterhawks. I know Seth Jones is on it. Not that he's tough, but there's a couple other guys who made the NHL, and Joe Hicketts is on the Royals, but they had a couple good games. There's some fights. I remember the one game they showed the highlights on TV at the time, on Shaw, I think, and fuck, there was a game in Portland, and there's a couple knockouts, some vicious knockouts, like out cold. And then the game I went to in Victoria, I lucked out and got a box seat with my cousin. And yeah, fuck, the end of the game, there's a line brawl. I remember, I forget his name, it was McGee, and fucking punched the visor right off this guy. And the guy, I don't remember his name, started with a P, he's a French guy. He ended up playing for the Leafs and for Winnipeg. Didn't have a big career, but no, that couple of years there, the first few years were okay, but then, yeah, I couldn't tell you any. Not a single fighter from that league or enforcer or anyone played the role, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who was the that's who it was. I was thinking of it. I'm like, who did the Victoria have that was a tough guy? Yeah, Keegan Kanzig.
They had Grunk.
They had Keegan Kanzig. That's the other guy I was trying to think of.
Yeah, he had a center ice fight that game, I remember. I specifically remember that fight because I was in the box. And it was with my cousin. He worked at Thrifty Foods grocery store at the time, and they had a box. And anyways, the fight, I was pretty, I'm typically a pretty quiet guy. But the fight started, and Kanzig or whatever was getting pumped a bit. And then, as a fight fan, fucking kick his ass, let's go, wake up! And then came back, and I didn't go in any of the games that series, but I don't think I made the best impression in that box. But
yeah,
fights get you going.
Yeah, they do. But yeah, well, Kanzig was a bad dude. I know he was drafted by Calgary pretty high. And
big guy.
Yeah. Well, I'm just looking. Yeah, 6'7", 247.
Still be playing in the CHL or something. I don't know.
He's all done now, it looks like.
Maybe
but,
he's done.
Yeah, but he had played in the East Coast League for a few years there at Idaho and Stockton. He was drafted by Calgary in the third round, but unfortunately, never panned out, but looked like injuries got him too. But he's a big dude, man. Yeah, 6'7", 250. It's a big dude. But I remember kind of getting the lowdown from my WHO Tony out there and Chris and them. I remember them telling me that Kanzig and kind of that Mitch Moroz and guys like that were kind of the. Well, and I've had Cade McNally on. He played in Seattle later on. He's kind of a younger guy, newer guy. So like I said, I had stopped watching the Western League at that time, but they still had a few cats go through there that are, you know, every once in a while you'll get a diamond in the rough, but not like it used to be, that's for sure. But well, there you go, folks. So yeah, if you have any some Victoria hockey history for you. But, we had talked here, so we're at the 50-minute mark, but we had talked about the 10 rapid-fire questions.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Well, I think we should probably get into that.
I'm ready.
Are you? Okay. Hold on.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, so we're going to do some rapid fire, the 10 rapid fire questions. I know you've listened to these episodes before, so you get what we're doing here, but I always like, well, we'll start off here, the first one here. It's a little softball question. We'll get you into the flavor of it. First question, rapid fire, favorite enforcer of all time.
Okay, this is tough. I kind of have a little flu, guys, being a Leafs fan. But for this podcast, I know he's a Saskatchewan guy, so I went Wade Belak. Colton Orr's a second, but Wade Belak. I have his jersey. I have Orr's jersey too, but I love watching Belak.
Yeah. Yeah, they was, those are two solid picks right there, man. Yeah.
Underrated fighter. I think you had a guest on before. He he picked Bjork as his underage fighter. I agree with it.
Yeah, like, that's the thing, right? It's funny when you talk to fight. No, you're right. And when you talk to, like, it sounds funny to say when you say it to people, but it's like, yeah, Bjork really did, I think, fly under the radar for people. I mean, obviously, people knew who he was. Obviously, they know Wade Bjork, but it's like, I don't know if it's because Domi was there too with him. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But I would say at that point, I would say Bjork was the main guy, and Domi is kind of shotgun, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, but it's just, I think at that time, Domi had such the legacy in Toronto at the time. Like, he's just been there for so long, and, you know, and all that. I think, and it just maybe his personality overshadowed Bjork a little bit, but it's like, because, you know, when Wade started, he was in Colorado, and then he was in Calgary, and he was kind of coming along, you know, but he hit his stride in Toronto, man. And then you go back and look, and it's like, I think it was Rod brought it up on Facebook, and he just mentioned it one time. He's like, who's a fighter that never got knocked out?
And I was Bjork, like, man.
Bjork.
I went down the rabbit hole, too. I'm sure I've watched every fight. I don't think he probably got cut a couple times. He definitely lost some, but he never got dropped and he never got shit kicked.
Nope.
From what I saw.
I agree with you. No,
I watched 90 some odd fights.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's like, yeah, no.
He did good against The Rock, for Shear, all the big guys.
Well, that was the interesting thing, because at that time, too, that was when, and I know people don't like to hear it, but it's true, it's when Brashear and The Rock, like, really didn't lose fights. Like, they weren't losing to anybody. They might have had a couple draws, but not many. They were pretty much dominating
those
all their fights.
With the Bjork.
Yeah, and then when they fight Wade, they didn't beat him. I don't think they could ever say they beat him. And, he was right there with him, and it was like,
I know, yeah.
No, I agree.
I know what Bjork got for Shear later on.
Yep. Well, then yeah.
For Shear's older, but
yep.
I think that's the only time anyone's ever hit for Shear like that. I don't know. I can't recall, but it's a left punch too.
Brett Gallant last night. But that's a little different.
Oh, yeah.
He's 52 years old. We'll give the guy a break. But, yeah. No, but I mean, yeah. Well, and I was kind of, it's funny we mentioned Brashear because, of course, I was having this debate today, actually, of all things on Twitter. You know, and there's always the Brashear hate and the Huggy Bear. Hey, listen, I'm not a Brashear guy. I was never a fan of Brashear. But I always say, you got to give the devil his due, man. And it's like, oh, well, yeah, but Domi one-punched him and then Bjork dropped him. Well, dude, first of all, the Domi fight, Brashear's a rookie in Montreal. And then the Bjork fight, it's his last year in the NHL, and he's like 36 years old. Like, give the guy a break. I said, but you go through Brashear's prime when he was in Vancouver and then Washington, there's a 10-year run. You can literally count on one hand how many times he lost. And you might not want to admit it, but that's the truth. And, you know.
Mm-hmm. No arguing it.
Yeah, but I always laughed. Oh, no, Bjork got him. Wow. He did, but at the same time, Brashear was over the hill at the time. Bjork wasn't doing that to him in his prime, you know, so it's like, you know, but yeah, Wade.
For a guy, Brashear's size, too, he had fucking fast hands, too, for a guy with that much power and strength.
Yeah, you know,
fast hands.
Yeah, well, that was always
the
thing.
I think LaRock might have been a bit better, but I think Brashear was a better puncher.
Yeah, well, it's just like you always get a Huggy Bear. It's like, oh, stop the Huggy Bear shit.
Fighting style.
Well, I mean, everybody's got their own style. And yeah, and Brashear was so strong. Yeah, he would control you and grab you and pull you in close, set you up, and then he'd start with the lefts, right? And LaRock would be the same thing. And it's just like, it was just their style. But yeah, they weren't going to fight wide open like John Morasty or something. Well, no, they weren't going to do that. But it's like, he would control you first. But it was like, hugging. Like, you guys, and then he just threw nothing punches.
Noogies.
Yeah, noogies. It's like, yeah, you better go talk to somebody that fought him. They might have a different opinion about,
maybe you should try out one of those noogies. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want to get hit by one of those, thanks. But Bjork, going back to Wade, yeah, it was cool. Because, of course, obviously he played in Saskatoon here in junior, so I mean, I got to watch him his whole career, right? Started at 17 years old and junior and watch him go all the way through. And what a great career. Met him a few times, good dude. And,
you know, yeah, rest in peace, Wade Belak. But yeah, that was a bad dude, man.
Colt Nord's my 1B or whatever you want to call him.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, that's another beauty, man. I love Colt Nord. Again, another guy that I watched in junior. Yeah, started in Swift Current. And, you know, so I see these guys as teenagers. That was always the cool thing back with the Western League back in the day, right? You'd see these guys like Colt Nord and Scott Parker and Wade Belak and Hordachuk and, you know, all these guys as teenagers. And then you watch them, you know, their journey through the NHL. It's been pretty cool. So, but yeah, Colt Nord, man. Like, that guy was, like, kill or be killed fighting style. And
I'm super biased. Don't get me wrong. I'm super biased, but I would say his last year, 2 years in New York, and his first 2 years in Toronto. Like I said, I'm biased, but fuck, I don't know. Like, there's LaRocque and Brashear and stuff, but fuck, Orr was downing guys on like a weekly basis, like dropping guys.
Well,
he was pretty scary.
Yeah, he was. Well, and the thing was, it was so wide open, right? I think that's why, like, you
always... I know Shelley fought him.
Yeah, and it was just that wide open swinging style, and he was just, you know, and I think, well, my favorite part of Toronto was when him and McLaren were, like, the tag team champs, right? Like, I love Fraser McLaren, too. Again, another guy that I watched in junior in Portland, and then, so, but him and Orr were great that year in Toronto, and it was just like... both of them would fight and let her go, and they'd get sent out in the first period.
And they had the year before, too, which was good.
Yeah. So, you know, so there was, like, you know, I know us old guys like to yell and scream about the 80s and 90s, but at the same time, the Orr McLaren years were pretty solid in Toronto.
Well, if I'm being honest, like, the Leafs have been good the last couple of years. Not playing amazing this year, but... I'd rather watch those out of the playoffs in January with Colt Nord over the stuff now, but that's just me.
Well, I mean, a lot more entertaining. I mean, it was like, so I said, would you rather be entertained and lose or bored and win?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, if somebody bored and win, it's like, why? Are you getting a Stanley Cup ring? Do you get a tracksuit if they win? Like, no. So you'd pay all this money or waste all this time watching some team, they're boring as shit, but we win, or you could be entertained as shit and you lose. Well, I think I'd rather take I myself would take the entertaining part. That's just me. If I'm paying half my paycheck to go to a game in Toronto, I want to see McLaren and Orr start that thing and get shit going. I really don't give a shit to watch Mitch Marner score 3 goals. I don't care, you know, but whatever. That's why I'm old and bitter and yelling in a podcast, I guess. But yeah, Orr and McLaren, man, I was digging that team back then. Well, and even like Toronto, like even, well, you young guys in today's age, I mean, those that listen to the show know that I haven't watched forever, but yeah, with McLaren and Orr, and then you had like Jay Rosehill. There was another guy. I love Jay Rosehill.
Mark Fraser, Mike Brown.
Yeah.
Benoit could even fight. I know he's not the most loved guy, but he could stick up for himself. Beauchemin, too, wasn't bad. Kind of surprise lefty.
Yeah, it's...
And then, really...
Well, and then, I mean, they keep saying we need to get tougher, so they go get Wayne Simmonds, and then this year they get Reeves, and then they just bury him. Like, leave it to Toronto to... screw that up, you know, like, you know, whatever. I know Reeves is the new whipping boy in Toronto with the media, but, you know, oh well.
It's like, yeah, he's dashed -6 or whatever, but it's like, if you watch the plays, I don't know, I watched most of the games he played, and I'm not going to say he was at fault for any of those goals, really.
Well, yeah,
he didn't he didn't block the shot at the point right away. The center could have won a face-off, too, or tied him up, but, you know, whatever.
Well, it's always, it's never the four other guys. It's Reeves' fault. It's never the four other guys. It's like, yeah, okay, I know, you want to blame somebody, so we'll blame the meathead. Oh, Reeves can't even skate. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's it. He can't skate. Okay. You know.
Yeah, weren't you saying almost 1,000 games in the NHL?
Yeah, 9-something. Yeah, it's like, I mean, I know he's older and stuff, but it's like, can't skate. Okay, sure. You know, but
No, I think it's just Keith and them. They don't know how to use those guys, and most coaches nowadays
don't.
I'm
hoping they get Berube's coach. I don't mind Keith. I've never been – I don't like a lot of his decisions, but if they got Berube, that would be
mm-hmm.
– I'd watch more.
That'd be sweet, man. Yeah, there you go. Well, okay. Well, that there, that rapid fire. We're not doing this very rapidly, but that's all right. number two. Well, that, you know, we got to go. Like I always say, you got to go both sides of the coin here. Who's your most hated enforcer?
I don't know. Well, okay. At the time, I hated Brashear. Typical, right?
No, so do I. Yep.
This is fun. I know you do this question separately too, but I was going to say at the time, I hated Chris Neal, and I hated Brian McGrattan, who I actually really like now. And shout out to my buddy Sonic. That's his all-time favorite player, McGrattan. But,
oh, Big Earn. I love Big Earn. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's in Calgary now, too.
Yeah. No, he's doing great stuff in Calgary as the addiction thing. I mean, mental health and stuff. I mean, I wish more teams should be doing
more
that.
More teams would do that.
Yes, they should. So... Well, there you go. Most, I just say, if you're a Toronto fan, I think Chris Neal. I mean, you have to hate Chris Neal. I believe that's a law in Toronto. Yeah.
Any Montreal Canadian, any Boston Bruins.
Yeah.
Chara.
Yeah. Yo, fuck Chara. Yeah, I love Chris. I love Chris Neal, but I never liked Zdeno Chara. But who's someone that you've done a 180 on?
Well, Brian McGrattan.
Oh, yeah, I guess you just sort of answered that, yeah.
This is kind of a different, like, I kind of went from liking him to disliking him. Okay.
Oh, you went the other way. You're doing the Uno card. Reverse Uno here,
yeah,
okay.
I know the question, so I was trying to spin it a bit. But I liked The Rock at the time. I thought he was, like, tough. But I didn't watch a ton of his fights, admittedly, in Edmonton or Pittsburgh. Like, obviously super powerful, but looking back, like, he's a boring fighter. Now on social media, he's kind of, I don't know, a bit of a fool. I don't know. I'm not the biggest fan anymore, but obviously you can't deny he's one of, if not the best fighter ever.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Old George, he, and it's funny because I've actually, way back in the day, which always kind of cracks me up when he talks about fighting, this is that little inside baseball.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, whatever way the wind's blowing is the answer you're going to get from George that day. Sometimes he loves it. Other times, well, yeah, I don't think we need it anymore. No, okay, George. You know, but back in the day, I hate to keep referencing my YouTube channel, but if you go to my YouTube channel, look up George the Rock, there's a bunch of Quebec Junior fights on there and a bunch of Hamilton Bulldog fights on there from when he played in the American League. Do you guys, Gary, you know where I got those from? From George LaRocque. He collected his own fights. Oh, man. He collected his own fights and he fucking loved it. And my friend Kurt and I put together his fight tape for him and made a cover. George loved being the champ and everything else. So don't believe this happy horse shit he talks about now. Behind the scenes, George loved the fact that he kicked the shit out of people. So, yeah.
Honestly, I know there's the whole ranking thing, but in my personal opinion, I know there's a lot of Probert guys, and George isn't really that fun to watch, but I think George is number one.
Yeah, I could see that.
But that's just me.
No, I could see that. I said when I did my top 10, he was, I believe he was 3 for me. Oh, yeah. And Brashear was like 5. You know how much heat I got over that? It's like, well, fuck. I mean, really? I mean, you know.
No denying.
No, there isn't. And it's like, yeah, I mean, I have Probert, Brown, LaRocque. That was mine. And I got Ben Wilson. Yeah, then it was Ben Wilson and then Brashear. Oh, yeah, I had people like, holy shit, I thought I was going to get some letter bombs or something. It's like, well, come up. Well, and that was the other thing I said about LaRocque. I said, okay, well, send me all the losses then that he had. Mm-hmm. All right. There's another one. Show me all the knockouts. How many times did he get dropped? And dummied. I don't think ever. So, all right. I mean, you could sit there and, like I said, people can bitch about his style or whatever all you want. His fight card's second to none. He fought everybody that was anybody at that time that he played against. And he wasn't getting beat up. So,
Yeah. I mean,
even the quote losses, like the Tony Twist or the Probert,
yeah,
you could still say those are draw fights. They're not losses, really.
Yeah, you get like, yeah, he got outpunched. But it wasn't like, he never, I don't remember, and maybe someone listening can correct me, but I don't remember him getting dropped or getting like literally the shit kicked out of him. And everyone has had, most people, I shouldn't say everyone because I'm just saying George didn't, but everyone had got the shit kicked out of him. I don't remember mm-hmm. him. I don't remember that happening to him. Now, I'm not saying he won every fight because he got outpunched in some for sure. But I don't remember him ever getting like just destroyed. So, and then, but I mean, you go online sometimes, you say, oh yeah, George LaRocque's a top five guy all time for me. Oh fuck, are you serious? Yeah.
Well, Flash, when he went toe-to-toe too, he was,
yeah.
Like, look at the Bugard fight. When he fought Bugard and actually surprisingly went toe-to-toe, he dropped him.
Yeah. Well, and that's,
Bugard, you could, he's in the conversation for greatest too.
Yeah, well, it's just like, well, he was massive and a hit. And it's, again, it's like these some of these clowns just like, oh, he threw noogies. Well, I've had guys in the show that have fought him. And they said when he hit you, your body would vibrate. Like, it was brutal how hard he hit. And I always said the NHL is really lucky that George LaRocque was nice.
Because
mm-hmm. If he had Bugard's mentality, there'd be a body bag. He would have killed somebody. You know?
Yeah.
So.
Seriously, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it was like, because he let up on guys and wouldn't hit them when they were down. Imagine if he had, like, Probert's mentality and was like, or Semenko or McSorley and he was mean. Oh, he would have killed somebody. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but oh, yeah. No, George, a bad dude, man. Absolutely. Number four. And we can go back to Junior while that's, well, obviously, or whatever. Best fight you've seen live.
Oh, well, I'm just gonna go off the last fight I saw live because I don't know my views on a lot of old fights probably from the Salsa or the Salmon Kings are probably skewed. I remember Boros had a couple good ones, like I remember Samre and I remember the Purrington ones, but the last fight I saw was. Luckily, it was the first NHL game I went to in years, but it was Lucic and Laurier.
That was a good fight.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah.
It wasn't the best, but like they both threw punches, so can't complain. They both landed.
Yep. There you go. All right.
What was it? I went to, it's probably 2013 or 2014. I think the first Flames games I went to, and it was another good fight. Probably, well, you obviously could YouTube it, but it was Michael Ferland versus Kevin Bieksa.
Yep. It
was a good one. I know they fought multiple times, but they fought at Calgary Center Ice, and it was a good fight. I remember that.
It's too bad his career got short with the injuries and
stuff. I got another funny one. The first fight I saw in real life, which was... my dad and like, you know, firefighter hockey, right? It can get pretty competitive and there's some guys.
Oh shit.
Playing the NHL.
I was going to say the firefighters in New York, man, the firefighters versus the cops. That's the best game in New York all year.
Yeah. My dad used to play for Victoria Fire. He's retired now, but anyways, the one Victoria team, they went to New York. They came second in all North America. There was a guy in the WHL who didn't make the team. But, no, sorry, anyways, going back to it, I was with my grandpa, and it's the first time I ever saw my dad play hockey. And we go to the far end, and that's the just inside the blue line, the puck drops, and my dad goes at it, and fucking, I remember, like, four or five punches, it's bam, 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 drop the other guy. And my first thing my grandpa says, yep, that one always had a temper. But.
Tremendous. Well, did your dad play any, like, you know, junior hockey or anything?
I don't know. I would have to ask him. He fought in the Golden Gloves of Ontario. He was tough. Played hockey. I got to ask him, actually. I never really... He's from Ontario. I know he played. He was pretty good. But... I only really seen him play firefighter hockey.
There you go. But he was tough.
In the '60s, probably beat the shit out of me still.
Oh, them old bastards, man. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, the firefighters and the cops, and oh, yeah, that's always a rivalry. Yeah, they, well, I mean, last year, yeah, right? Like, they had, was it Bissonette and Ryan Whitney, the Spit and Chinglets guys, were doing commentary, and oh, they had a bunch of tilts, and it's like, yeah, I think they sold friggin' Madison Square Garden. I'm like, that was the ticket to have, man. That was, I said, the Rangers could be so lucky to have a game that entertaining, you know? Oh, yeah, cops and the fire department. I even know here, when they play senior hockey, like in the city here, the city league, oh, the cops are always the dirtiest team. Oh, yeah, you know. Yeah.
They go at it, and they don't hold back either. Oh. Fuck.
Well, cops and firefighters, they always hate each other anyway. You know, so, oh, yeah, when now all of a sudden we can get it on ice and get it sanctioned. Oh, shit, yeah, we're going to go, you know.
Actually, I have another little firefighter story. It's actually funny. Is there's a couple guys at Victoria Fire Department who played in the NHL. John Newberry, and then John Mokasak was a tough guy, and he played in Detroit.
Yep.
And he played with you might have known him, but yeah, he played with Kosher and Probert. He was there, I think, a little bit before, but he still played with them.
Yep.
But yeah, I guess my dad was saying they were in practice one time, and they were battling for the puck, and then Kosher was in front of the net. Kosher broke a stick over them, and then they didn't get into it, but they almost got into it. But I know John's a tough guy, my dad says, but
yeah.
Joey Kosher. Who knows? I would go for Mo, but who knows?
Oh, yeah, Mosak. Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
You might even have a couple of YouTube videos of him, honestly.
There are some out there. I know that. I mean,
Victoria Cougar, too.
Yeah, he's on some of the old 80s AHL stuff. Yeah, that's the funny thing. It's like, well, and it was like, it always seemed like minor league tough guys always seem to gravitate towards firefighting. Like, Engelstad and, you know, Bezo and, Kenny Boone and all these guys. It's like, yeah, they always, it's like, what's he doing now? He's a firefighter. Oh, okay, yeah, no shit. You know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so well, then...
So
when you make these firefighting teams, it's like, well, yeah, shit, no wonder they got tough guys on there.
Yeah, the Victoria team, well, Rugby Canada, I played rugby too, talk about getting hit hard.
Oh, yeah.
But Gregor Dixon, I think the captain of Team Canada Rugby, is in Victoria Fire Department, a bunch of lacrosse guys too, Victoria, I don't know, especially back then too, when NHL players weren't making much money, and then obviously lacrosse guys get paid dick all even today. But fuck, there's a lot of athletes who are firefighters. That's yep. For sure.
Yeah, well, yeah, because just the job lends itself to it, right? So, you know, obviously you want athletic. Well, clearly you want athletic firefighters. So it's like, yeah. So their hiring practice, nonetheless. Well, yeah, I mean, that's who I would take is. If I had to hire some guys, I'd take some firefighters. I'd take some friggin' hockey players and some lacrosse guys for sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's we're really cruising along here. That's question four. So, question five: if you're going to open up a wing in the Hockey Hall of Fame and it's the Enforcer Hall of Fame, who are your first three inductees?
Well, I don't know about John Ferguson, because that's not my time. I think I'd have to go, there might be some bias in this too, but I think Probert and Brown, more so Probert, the big name. I'd say Ty Domi, it's a biased Leaf fan, but he does have the most fights in NHL history.
Oh, absolutely.
And then... honestly, probably George Rock, just because how good he was.
I agree. Yep.
That would probably be good.
There you go. I don't think anybody could argue with any of those. Well, question six. Dream matchup. What fight would you just love to see?
There's a lot. But speaking of LaRock, like we just were, I'd like to see Matt. I would love to have seen McIntyre fight him, because I don't know if McIntyre is quite as strong, but I think he's strong enough to be able to stay out of the spin cycle or get totally ragdolled. So I don't know. I'd like to see that.
Okay.
That's kind of my more my wheelhouse of era, so that's one fight I wish that happened.
There you go. If you could have season tickets to any season in any year in any league, what would they be?
Oh.
Yeah, the DeLorean, and you could go back in time. Where would you go?
God. That's tough. I would say either sometime in the 80s, being in Calgary now, hating the Oilers, watching some of the Battle of Alberta would have been fun.
Yeah.
And I watched on TV all the Leafs, Ottawa, in the early 2000s in the playoff series. Those were...
Oh, awesome.
As good a hockey as been in the last 20 years.
Yep. Oh, yeah, like Roberts and Tucker and all them going after Neil and shit and Steve Webb. Oh, yeah.
Carson Tucker is one of my favorites, too. First jersey I ever had with the name on it.
Yep. Tucker, bad dude, man. I dig Tucker for sure. Question 8. Who's underrated in your mind?
Well, I think this is kind of a popular answer in terms of that question. But then again, when I see the Probert as King challenge go out,
yep.
He seems to never make it that far. And I'm a big fan of him. And you posted about him the other day, but Eric Goddard.
Oh, yeah. The hand of God.
He was the Vernon guy.
Yep.
I'm sure you saw him play in person, too.
I did, yep. Playing in Lethbridge and stuff. Yeah, Goddard was mean, man. He killed guys. It's always interesting. I always say with Goddard, it's kind of interesting. He always fought to his competition. When he fought, like, the big guys, you would get the best of Eric Goddard, and then it'd be funny. He'd go and fight somebody, whatever, but a guy that you would normally think, oh, Goddard
is.
Yeah, he's going to smoke this guy. And it was like, it was a draw. It was like, what the fuck? You know, you're waiting for the big knockout. And he almost looked like he was disinterested at times, like just going through the motions. But every once in a while, but when he had to amp up and fight Parker or McGrattan or Bugard, it was just like hammer down, man.
Yeah. He caught Bugard.
Yeah.
Bloodied up for a fear twice, which how many times has that happened?
Yep. Yep.
And then obviously, you posted it the other day. I think I commented on it. The McIntyre broke his face in three places.
Yep.
Almost retired him. You had McIntyre on before, I believe, right?
And yep.
I think he was talking about how big a struggle it was to come back from that fight.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was. Yeah. I mean, Goddard, man, he was a killer. And I was so happy when he won the cup at Pittsburgh. And, you know, it was cool, man. You know.
Seems like a good guy.
Yeah, by all accounts. Unfortunately, I've never been able to communicate with
him. You tweet from Fodge.
Yeah, it's been thrown out there, but he's not into it. But unfortunately, he's a pretty quiet dude. He's not really into the whole thing. But he'd be great to talk to for sure. He's from all accounts, everybody I've ever talked to that knows him says he's awesome. And I know the Ice Wars guys were pretty pumped there when they were in Wyoming. Him and Scott Parker came down for the event, and they were kind of digging it and saying how good he was and cool and shit. So. But yeah, man, Eric Goddard, love it. Great answer. Like I said, right, we always got to go yin and yang here. So number 9, overrated.
I don't know if it's unpopular or not. And obviously, I consider him probably the best ever top 2-3. Can't argue it. But I'd say this is mostly just for my online experience, but Probert. That fair to say, even though I still think he's like arguably the best ever, but I think he's overhyped as well.
His name is Brock, and he's on Twitter at Victoria. So you send all your hate mail to him. I kid. I could see it. I could tell you,
I'm not knocking him. I think he's still one of the best ever, if not the best ever.
Yeah,
he's a living legend. When you think of Enforcer, you think Probert, right?
But yep.
Some guys take it like, he never lost a fight, or
I've ranted and raved on here numerous times. There is nothing worse than Probert fanboys. Oh, it's embarrassing. The worst is the Bob Probert fan club on Facebook. That is the worst
group ever. Oh, terrible. Bobby never lost. Bobby did that. I'm like, you know how embarrassed Probert would be from this group? you know, yeah, and I think that's because he was always the measuring stick, right? And rightfully so.
Yeah.
He was. And, yeah, and I mean, but, I think a lot of times, especially now with the internet and as we've gotten on, maybe as, I don't know, it's a whole commentary on society now, but I think nowadays, I think people are a lot more jaded and a lot more, people are always trying to find the warts. And if you go back and you look at Probert's stuff, yeah, you can go through it and it's like, oh, he lost a lot at the end. Or was he really, he always got out of his jersey. So that why, you know, if he had his jersey had to stay on, he wouldn't have been as good. And I mean, people are always trying to nitpick and find something, right? And it's just like, you know, and it's like, eh. So from the outside looking in, it's like, yeah, I get it. And then at the same time, for as people saying that, there's people vehemently arguing on the other side that he walked on water and never lost. And very polarizing. And so, no, I completely, I know what you're saying. As far as the overrated go, I know what you're saying. I get it.
And I didn't experience him at the time. I've watched tons of Probert fights now on YouTube, right? I've seen probably more than not, but obviously great, good trolled guys, right?
Yeah.
But there's some.
Well, and that was the thing. I was there, right? I was. That's my era and everything else. So I lived in that moment. So I understood how good he was.
Speaking of matchups, that would have been fun to see him go with some of the modern guys, like a Bugard or a McGrattan or McIntyre. Those would be fun fights to watch.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, right? And it's like, because you have that argument, and it's like, you know, when people say,
it's that wrong era.
Yeah, well, then people say, like, oh, Bugard would have killed him. Yeah, you know, maybe.
Never know.
Probably. I mean, yeah, but it's like, that's the thing, you can't really cross eras because it was so hard, right? Because at the same time, you know, Probert played a regular shift. He played in an all-star game. He played 15, 20 minutes a game. Bugard said at the end of the year. He's in the, you know, he scored 30 one year. And then you got Bugard who's sitting at the end of the bench playing two shifts a period. You know, it was just a different, he was a nuclear weapon. Him and McIntyre, Colton Orr, guys like that, they didn't play. They were just three shift guys. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but it was just a different mindset at the time. Whereas when Probert played in the 80s, you had to play a regular shift. And it was just like, so it was just different. So he actually, like these guys trained to be professional fighters on ice. You know, Probert just happened to be really tough. You know, that was, you know, but he wasn't, you know, yeah, okay, he boxed a little bit and whatever, but he didn't like, and there's just the science behind it. Like these guys weightlifted, you know, boxed and MMA and did all that shit now. Like Reeves is an MMA guy and he boxes and shit. It's like, well, yeah, because, you know, Probert and the Berube and all those guys, they weren't doing that shit. I mean, they might have done a little boxing, but that was about it, you know. You know, so it was just, it's just a different era, different mindset. So it's really hard when you cross eras, right? You know, well, and back when Probert played, he was the big guy, you know, at 6'3", 220. Well, holy shit. I mean, LaRocque's 260, Bugard 6'7", you know, you got all these massive guys. It's like, yeah, it's just completely different, right?
Totally.
Yeah, it's just a different time.
I hate that too, the whole era. Like just talking about normal hockey too, there's talk like players back in the day couldn't play. It's like, have some, like, do research or have some respect for eras, different times.
Of course, yeah.
Like exactly. The Ovechkin thing we were talking about. How many goals is Ovechkin scoring on a, when they call two penalties a game with a wooden stick hitting slap shots from the slot? Like,
yeah.
Not scoring 50.
Well,
no
having,
offense to him.
And having guys.
He would have been gooned and stuff.
Yeah. Well, having guys hang on him and, you know, oh, of course. Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, oh, yeah, well, like, Gretzky couldn't even have played today. Well, yeah, if you take 1981 Gretzky and stick him now, well, yeah, he looks small and slow and everything. But you have to give him today's technology and today's equipment and today's mindset. I mean, that's the difference. I mean, these guys are elite-level 12-month-a-year athletes. Back in the day, those guys didn't start training until that's what training camp was for, to get into shape. They spent the summer drinking beer and fishing.
Like, no one was, like, working out and doing polymetrics and power skating and all this shit. So, no, it was a completely different game. And it's like, but people look at it and this, like, you have to look at it in a vacuum, right? It's like, you know, it's like, oh, it's, oh, if you took Sidney Crosby and put him back in the 70s, he'd have 130 goals. Well, yeah, okay. Yeah, but take away all his equipment and all his training and everything else. Like, that's the thing. And it's like, you realize there'd be no Sidney Crosby without Wayne Gretzky. There's no Wayne, exactly. There's no Wayne Gretzky without Jean Beliveau. There's no Jean Beliveau without, you know, whatever. It's like, today's players stand on the shoulders of the people that came before them. That's how everything is. And it's like, but there's this disrespect for guys in the past. And it's just like, shut the fuck up. Like, it's, you can't compare it at all. You know, it's like...
No.
Yeah. But, where are... Oh, shit, now you got me mad. Now where are we? Oh, that was 9. Number 10, last question. All right, number 10, guilty pleasure. Now, and I always say that I have to preface this by, like, it's not a... You know, we're having fun here. We're just talking. We're just having jokes and stuff. It's not a disrespect to the guy, but it's like... Who, if you probably ask guys or whatever, they weren't that good, that tough or whatever, but for some reason you were a big fan of them. Who would you say?
Oh, that's tough.
It is tough. You know, I always say, like, I'll throw up mine while you're thinking about it, but it's like, I always like Jim Cummins or a Jeff Odgers or a Chris Murray. It's like, I was always a big fan of those guys. Fight wide open. Dale Purington, we talked about him before. But if you went by their air quotes win-loss record, it probably wasn't great. But damn it, I loved it. It's like back when you talked about the Ottawa-Toronto thing, or back in those rivalries, Toronto and the Islanders. Toronto and the Islanders used to kill each other too. I love Steve Webb.
Oh, yeah.
Steve Webb. I was a huge Steve.
Yeah, yeah. He played good in that 2003 series too. He was unreal.
Yeah. But
yeah, big goals.
Yeah, but when it came to fighting, you know, a bit of a catcher, but that's all right. If every team had a Steve Webb nowadays, I tell you, the games would be a hell of a lot more entertaining. So, you know,
I think I got one.
All right,
I don't want to disrespect him.
Oh yeah,
and he definitely doesn't have the same killer instincts, but for his size, he should have been more heavyweight. But probably Matt Martin. Like, I love him. He's great.
Holy shit. You got heat with Lazito now. You're in one.
Oh. No, I love him. I love him. I have his jersey, but an Elise jersey. But no, I felt for his size, he should have been better. But I loved him because he fought hard. He scraps. He doesn't have the same killer instinct now, but he was. Yeah, he fucking showed up. He played hard, and I know a lot of the against any actual heavyweight, he never really won the fight. He's more of a middleweight, but no, I am a huge Matt Martin fan. He needs to get more fights this year.
Well, like, I was just saying, I think everybody needs to get into more fights this year. Matt Martin.
He only had no Luch now. Fuck.
Yeah, oh, I'm gonna tell you. Yeah. Lazito, I got his phone number. I'll get it to you. Yeah, you can send all your
hits. I talked to Lazito on Twitter a while ago, and I asked him why he hasn't had him on. So, praying Lazito has him on in the future once Lou's...
Yeah.
Martin's retired, that'd be a great interview, I think.
Oh, yeah, especially, you know, like we said, especially if Joe's doing it, because like I said, you know, he will turn over every stone for sure. Yeah, that's funny that you met. Well, it tells you I haven't been paying attention, but yeah, I completely forgot that Matt Martin.
Don't hate me, Joe. I watch your show too.
Yeah, well, you know, look at, he's trying to backtrack already now. Oh, you're in it now. You stepped in it.
Yeah.
No, he, I actually completely forgot that Martin played in Toronto for those couple of years.
I wish they played him more second year and didn't. Should have got more ice time, but that's just me.
Fucking Babcock.
I loved him. He was my favorite player when he was there.
Oh, I'm a huge Matt Martin fan, yeah. You know, always a physical guy, and yeah. No, he's had a hell of a career.
Player either.
No, hell of a run.
Underrated player. I know he's not, doesn't have the same speed and whatever now, but decent shot. Obviously, fucking amazing hitter. What, led the league four times in a row?
Oh, yeah. No, he knew, and, you know, he, yeah, absolutely. And
back in Sarnia, too, he got in a lot of fights in junior.
Yep.
Came up in a tough time. That first Islander team he had with Gillies and everyone, that was a tough team.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, well, you had, like, Matt Martin and Zenon Konopka and Gillies and, mm-hmm. Oh, shit, yeah. I mean, I was a huge, well, I'm a massive Gillies and Konopka fan for sure, but, yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, yeah. You know,
Konopka's great, too.
Oh, yeah. And you've,
I think you mentioned him in your last show, I think.
Yeah, he was the last guy to have 300 penalty minutes in the NHL. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 307 with the Islanders. Yeah, it was the year we talked about just now, 2010-2011. Yeah. He had 82 games. He had 307 minutes. Yeah, that's when they had that big brawl with the Penguins and all that shit, and Gillies went nuts. And yeah. Oh, what a time. I think that was kind of the last kind of that 2010 around there. I think that was sort of the last time the NHL really had that element. You know what I mean?
Well, it was what, 2014 was that year McGrattan played the majority of the games, and then he was out. Colton Orr played one game, 2014. Guys, like, yeah, it was pretty, most of those guys were done by 2015, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And even so, like, fuck, who's McGrattan? How many fights did he have that year? No one wants to fight him, really.
No. But yeah, that's, I mean,
a legit excuse no one wanted to at the time.
And I will say, like, even those old guys that yell at the clouds and stop watching, I mean, at that time, though, I mean, there was, if you go back and look, because like McGrattan, I mean, even though he's, you know, I mean, he's on Bissonnette and everybody likes to laugh a bit. I can tell you now, if Paul Bissonnette played now, he'd be fucking King Kong if he played in the NHL this year. But back in the day, Bissonnette was better than he gives, than he, Bissonnette wasn't bad. If you go back and watch Bissonnette fights, he was okay. But you had McGrattan, Luke Gazdick was awesome. Anthony Peluso. I was a massive Anthony Peluso guy too. You know, but there was a couple cats scare, you know, like you said, Colt Lohr, we talked about Fraser McLaren. You know, there was still some cats around that could put it down if they had to in the mid, or I keep saying mid 2000s. It's not mid 2000s. It'd be the 2010s, you know, between 2010 and 2020, there was some guys.
All we have now is the last couple, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, now you're just kind of hoping Deloria grabs somebody. That's pretty much what it's come down to, right? And
hopefully Toronto plays Reeves more.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, now that he's back.
I know the whole Wi-Fi thing, but I'd love to them fight again. Reeves to beat him up, punch his face in. No offense to the Wi-Fi guy, but.
Oh, that was so lame. And like I said, I don't have a problem with the Wi-Fi kid, but I'm like, oh, Montreal fans were talking like, oh, he's the second coming of Chris Nyland or something. It's like, he's just a big guy that wrestles people. It's like, I don't know, does he even throw punches, really? And they wanted to hang their hat on the fact that, oh, he killed Reeves. I was like, well, he shoved him into the net. I mean, you know.
He didn't
land
a punch.
No. So I'm like, okay, I don't, I guess. Like, if that's what you're hanging your hat on now, if that's what we're calling the fight, then I guess so. But yeah, no, you're right. I'd like to see that rematch too, you know, and let's swing
square off, like both guys.
Fresh. Yeah, yeah. Let's go at it off the face off, square it off, and let's see what happens. I mean, yeah, I totally want to see that. Yeah, Reeves needs to get into one of those. Yeah, but because it's been a while, for sure.
At least they're playing him again now a bit, but hopefully more. Not that there's really anyone to fight other than like four other guys, but
yeah. Hopefully he'll get an opportunity. But, well, there we go. There's the 10 rapid-fire questions. And we had you on, talked a little Victoria history. Well, Brock, man, I appreciate you coming on the show. It was a lot of fun. And what's the name of your Twitter account again?
It is, well, Victoria Salsa. It's, I think it's at Red Hot Hockey.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't have Facebook or anything else.
You're a smart man. Yeah, Red Hot Hockey. And, yeah, check it out. Go back. You could check out some old newspaper articles. And
tag me in it or post stuff. Let me know. More content, the better.
Absolutely. No, you got me pumped up. I'm actually going to go through my old BC stuff. I'm going to try to see if I can find some... well, I know I have more Victoria fights, for sure I do. They've got it. So, yeah, we'll definitely... I'll talk to Kyle, and we'll get on that. But for you BC cats, definitely check out Brock's stuff. So, but anyway, man, we've talked for about an hour and a half here, but I really appreciate you coming on and making yourself available and clearing your schedule for me.
Yeah. I'm a boring guy. I don't have much going on. Well, thanks for having me on.
Oh, shit, man. No, it was all good. And you were good. You were great. But anyway, folks, thanks for listening.
And you people that don't like fighting, how many of you did you walk out and get a coffee while that was on?